That's good brought, so I don't know if we're gonna do it. Okay, today's daf is Chof Hey. We are up to the second line from the top, and we've been discussing the idea of fishing on Yontif, and now we go to a further thing. Amar Rabba Barav, Huna Amar Rav, Hasoichar Amas Hamayim Me Erev Yontif. So the person blocks up the stream of water, and he does it on Erev Yontif. So he puts a barricade, what's it called, when you a dam, and he... So the water can't go from... Sorry?
He
blocks it so the water can't go from one side to the other.
What's the
Lashon HaSoicher?
Where
does
it
come
from?
So he's Sochru Mayanais
Tahim Rabba. Verstopped.
Verstopped, yeah. So so he verstops up the stream. So you know that any fish that's inside was there before. Yeah? Because you blocked it up in Erev Yontif, so you know it didn't get hunted on Yontif because it didn't come. It couldn't get in. The fish, the poil, begashmis couldn't get in, and therefore the mocher hishki motzah badogim. If you find fish in the, so you made an enclosure basically, yeah. Instead of it flowing through, you blocked it all up. So now you've got an enclosure of water from which water cannot get in and cannot get out. So you get up a Yom Tov morning and you find fish in there as mutarin because they must have been there from Erev Yom Tov. Otherwise, there's no way they could get in.
Yeah? Could have been born on Yom Tov.
No, they wouldn't be very big then, would they?
Yeah, then they'd be baby sardines. Ones. Yeah, okay, so let's... good. I suppose that's a good question. So let's assume that there... You could,
the way that he blocked this water must be so that he's sort of trapping what's in there, so there's nothing new coming in.
Right, so the water can't get in. So that means the fish can't get in either, because fish have to flow through the water. Yeah, so it's mutter. Yeah, so I suppose it's a good question. So it must be that... We must be saying that he can tell that it's more than one day old fish. You wouldn't want to eat a fish that's one day old, would you? It's a little tiny.
You must eat it.
Yeah. Amar Rav Chisda says Rav Chisda, Mitivei Rabbeinu, from the words of our teacher, so he was a student of Rav, so he says, so Rav Bar Rav Huna said, it's the name of Rav, Rav Chisda says, from the words of our teacher, Rav, Nilmar, we will learn, that Achaya Shekonanov of Paradis, if you have an animal, so that was about fish, if you have an animal that spent the night, Kanana literally means it, or Kinana nested, yeah, it spent the night in the orchard, you don't need to designate it and say that it's, I'm going to use it tomorrow. So you remember when we had talked about the birds, the doves and the pigeon coops and whatever, we said in order for it not to be muksa, you have to designate beforehand which one you're going to take. Yeah. So Rav Chisda is extrapolating from Rav, and he says that if you block, what did Rav say? That if you blocked up the water and no fish could get in, then any fish you found the next day is mutarin. That means automatically they're not muksa. It's considered mukhan, yeah, and ready to use on yontif. So it's the same thing. If you have an animal that spent yontif evening in your orchard, and your orchard is makom hamishtamer, Rashi says, so it's got a gate on it, so you can't nothing can get in and out. So you know it was in there yesterday. Then it's already considered. You don't need to designate. Oh, tomorrow I'm going to shecht that animal. It's already automatically pre-designated. So that's what Rav Chisda extrapolated from Rav with the fish. Yes, it's a paradise. So that's a so then Rav Shimon Gamliel said, if it's Bechuset Seda, then you can. So here we're not worried about Seda, here we're worried about Muktzah. So the Gemara sort of goes back and forth between these things. Here we're talking about, is it considered Bukhan or is it Muktzah? Because we said you have to designate that things shouldn't be muksa, yeah. So he says you don't need to designate it because it spent the night in your orchard. That itself makes it mukhan for the next day, just like the fish that spent the night in your swimming pool. Yeah. So that's what Rav Chisda says. Rav Nachman says, Nafal Chavrin b'Rav Ravosa. Our friend Rav Chisda, he got in over his head. He got in amongst the big guys. In other words, so Rav Nachman was also a student of Rav, as was Rav Chisda and Rav Huna. They were all three Talmidim of Rav. So Rav Huna said that Rav said the thing about the fish. Rav Chisda, the other student, extrapolated to say that applies to animals as well. And Rav Nachman, the third student, said, oh, you're getting into the... You start talking about the animal in the orchard, you're getting into the big stuff now, and we'll see in a minute what he means by that. Yeah, machlekes gedolim. So we'll see in a second about the big machlekes. But first, let's just say the ikad yamri. The ikad yamri is just on who said what. There was on who were the players in the story over here. So the Ikad Yamri is that Omar Rabba Barav Huna, that it was that Rabba Barav Huna said, so that it wasn't that Rabba Huna Barav We started off with Rabba Barav Huna saying in the name of Rav about the fish. In the Ikad Yamri, it was Rabba Barav Huna himself who said that Medivar Rabbeinu Nilmud Chai Shekin Nebeparnas and Atzich Hazimun. That Rabbi Barav Huna, who is the one who brought this in the name of Rav in the first place, he himself extrapolated it to say that it applies to the animal in the orchard as well. And Rav Nachman said, Omer, Rav Nachman nofal bar charvin b'Rav Ravosa, the son of our friend, because Rav Huna was his friend, or his classmate with Rav. So was Rabbi Barav Huna was the son of my friend. So that's why he says, so in this version of the story, it was Bar Chavrin, the son of our friend Rav Huna, got himself involved in this big thing. In other words, so that was just a who said what. Now, what's the big thing? Why is it that there should be any controversy about the animal in the orchard? Why isn't it taka the same as the, why isn't it clearly the same as the fish in the pond as the animal in the orchard? So, because, says Rav Nachman, Hasam like Yavid Maisa, the animal in the orchard, you didn't do anything. The animal just turned up in the orchard. What do you say? Just because the animal spent the night in the orchard, therefore it's Muslim? Maybe it's not Muslim. Maybe the animal, easy come, easy go. You can't say that's automatically designated for Yom Tov just because he slept in the orchard guest house. Hacha with the fish, Kovid Maisa. Veloy boy Zima. Why doesn't... Sorry, I didn't say good. Kovid Maisa, full stop. He says, why is the fish mutter? Because you don't need to designate... I'm going to take those fish tomorrow. The fact that you did an action that blocked up the stream to get those fish in there, that itself is enough zimun. It's not saying I'm going to take them tomorrow is not any stronger than doing an action, which makes it clear that you're going to take them tomorrow. So therefore, he says, that's why you don't need to designate the fish. Because by doing the action, it's even better than designating by verbally. Mashayin came with the animal where he didn't do anything. If he doesn't designate on Erev Yom Tov that I'm going to shech this animal tomorrow, then it's muktzah. So that's what Rav Nachman says. The difference between the fish where he did an action to block up the water or the animal which came by itself, l'chayru. So he says, by the fish, it doesn't need a zimun. Now, Fred, the Gemara...
Well, I think it doesn't need a zimun. Maybe it needs a zimun, but the zimun is the fact that you put the wall out.
Okay, but yeah, what he means is you don't need to say... I'm using these fish tomorrow. You've done that? Okay, but what he means is you don't need to do an action. He didn't say the word leboy zimun. He said, hasam le ke'ovid maisa, hacha ke'ovid maisa. The difference is with the fish, he did an action, but the animal, he didn't do an action. Full stop. Now the Gemara asks, for leboy zimun, even the case where he did an action, are you telling me he doesn't need to also designate? Vatanyu, then the Nebraisa, chaya shekonon befardus, tzricha lezamen. So the animal that's in the pardus... This is the case that was the extrapolation of Rav Chisda, other Rabbi Rav Huna, Tzricha Lezamin. So that clearly doesn't agree with what whoever it was who just said it, because he says you do need to designate it. Yeah? But, what's the next one? A Tzipur Dror. We had this yesterday, didn't we? The Tzipur Dror. The robin, or what did you want to say it was? A sparrow? I'd rather be a robin than a sparrow or something. Anyway, we won't go into that. So we said, what's the pshat at super dror? That it flies around its door in the house, just like outside the house. It's always free. It's always moving around. Sorry, halikshar bichnafeha. So you have to tie a ribbon around the old bird's leg. You got to tie around its wing. Sorry, but you got to tie a ribbon. Why? So Rashi says because the birds don't grow very big. So when you have a baby one and you have a mother one, you can't tell the difference unless you have to make some simin. So he says you have to tie something on the wing. So if you've got a small one, you will confuse it with the mother one because they're both of the same size. Therefore, you have to show which one you're designating. And this was a testimony... That they said in the name of Shmai and Avtalion. So we see that no matter what, you have to do something. Yeah, you have to have zimun. So there, but you see clearly from the first part that the chaya that lived in the orchard spent the night in the orchard. You do need to designate. So it's teyufta is a kasha on whoever, either Rav Chisda or whoever, who said that you don't need to. So that's what Nachman says, oh, you've fallen in with the big things, because the Braisa says, not like you. The Braisa says that the Chaya does need Zimun. Okay, now the Gemara playing devil's advocate says back the other way. Umi boy Zimun? Aha, 1 minute, just a minute. Does a taka need to be designated? V'hatanya, what about this Braisa? Amar Shimon ben Elazar. Rav Shimon ben Elazar says, Moedim b'shamay b'shilol. B'shamay b'shilol all agree. Al shehiz minon b'secha kein. If you got the birds, yeah, and you designated birds inside the nest, and matzal ifnei kein, you came back the next morning and you found them that they are not inside the nest anymore, but they're standing in front of the nest. Shasurin, because you cannot take them, because we assume the ones in the nest that you designated have disappeared, and these new birds that you find in front of the nest are different birds that you didn't designate. And if you remember, we said it's talking about where there's a ledge in front of the thing, and there were multiple nests, and you designated one nest, and then you came and found the nest was empty, and the birds that are there, you cannot assume they came from the empty one. They may have come from one of the other nests that you didn't designate. Yeah, that's what we were talking about. So everyone agrees. B'Shama and B'Sila both agree that it's no good. When does that apply? B'Yonei Shuvach and Yonei Aliyah. With birds that live in a dove coop, and birds and doves that live in the attic. And Siporim She'ekananu B'Tapichin Uvabira, and birds that made a nest in your empty tin can and in the beer bottle? Bureau. In the house. Yeah. So in all of those cases is when you have to make sure you got the right ones. You have to designate them. And if you're not sure whether the ones you found in the morning are the ones you designated, then you have to assume that they're osur. Avalavozim etana goylim. But if it's ducks and chickens, the yoni had the sois. And the Herodian birds that we talked about yesterday also, yeah? And Chaya Shekanana Befardes, and this is why he brings it, the punchline, the animal that lived in the orchard is Mutari Be'entzrich and Zimun. They are permitted without having to do anything. Because those animals are so mezumen that you don't have to do anything. The ones that are iffy, they fly around, blah, 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 you have to say, I'm going to make them for tomorrow, otherwise they're not automatically mizulman. But the ones a chicken is so domestic, it's so, like it's so much part of the family, that you don't need to do anything. And the chicken and the ducks, but also he says that the animal that spent the night in the orchard is already like so domesticated that you don't need to do anything. And Tzipor Dror, they agree with the bird that we talked about, the robin or the sparrow, that tzricha lekasher b'chnafel, that you have to tie the wing, kadesh l'schala pa'im, not to mix up with the mother. V'hamakusharim v'hamenunotin, those that are tied up. So this is a separate topic. So that was a little about Yontif. Yeah. So that was the bit that says that the animal in the orchard you don't need to do a zimun. So that's what the question's coming from. Yeah. And just to finish off the Braisa says that as a side point, mukusharim anunoyim, if you come on a weekday, forget about Yontif, if you just come in to a boiris, into where there's a pit, a well of a bottom, and a house of a shichin of a ma'oris and caves and cisterns, and you come in there and you find a bird that's got a ribbon around the wings. It's Makusha. Yeah? You find, in other words, somebody has put something on this bird, but you found him flying around in Whoop Whoop, yeah? So you were going through Sherbrooke Forest, and you found a bird with a ribbon around his wings. Yeah? It's Mutarin. Then you're allowed to take them, and it's not considered... That's not considered... stealing. Yeah? Because it's considered hefker. But be'ilanos asurim. If you find him... I'm sorry, I didn't say good. Start again. Rewind. The last bit here, this bit is still talking about Yontif. I'll take it back. If you find this, because the next bit's going to be about Gezel. This is still about Yontif. I jumped the gun a bit. Yeah, so he's talking about regarding the ones that you did tie with the ribbon is mutter, even if you found it somewhere different from where you tied it. Yeah, so you tied the bird in your house or in your backyard, and you went and found it down the street somewhere, then it's okay. It's still.
Menoyim also means tied up.
Menoyim means you moved it. Because handled. That's the, yeah, you move. Well, Lenanayim means to move. Yeah, because that's also for a designation,
yeah,
to make it
like prepared for Yontif.
That's right, prepared for Yontif. The same idea. Yeah, so once you prepared it for Yontif, then it doesn't matter where you found it, you can use it. But Ilana is Asurin. If the bird climbed the tree, even though you prepared it, you can't get it on Yontif because it's in the tree. Shema Yalev Yitloishem. We're worried you'll climb up the tree, and you know that to climb a tree on Yom Tov because you might pull off a branch. So that's a separate issue. Okay, so getting back to try to undo the confusion I caused before. Yeah. So on Yom Tov, if you've got a bird that you were mezamin the day before, and you find it the next day somewhere other than on a tree, which you can't climb, but everywhere else, then it's still mukhan, it's unmuksa because you prepared it yesterday. Now, this is where I jumped the gun before. The next bit is, in general, during the week, if you found a bird that's been tied, or you can see that it's been handled, so somebody's made a simon on it, it's always, in other words, it's private property. If you see a bird with a ribbon on it, that belongs to somebody. That's why there's a ribbon on it. So therefore, you can't take it.
Even if you find it out in the...
Even if you found it in Sherbrooke Forest. Yeah, you can't take it because it's private property. It has a simon on it. Okay, so that was the brisa. So in the midst of all that brisa, we saw that the animal which has spent the night in the orchard is mutter and doesn't need zimun. And the other brisa said that an animal that spent the night in the orchard does need zimun. Is what's going on? Is Amar Rav Nachman Leikasha Haba Habeima. So it says, it depends. If you're talking about a baby one, the child doesn't need zimun because the child can't get very far away. And therefore, you were already thinking about shechting the child, the baby bird, because you automatically have your mind on it, and therefore it's by default not muksa, and therefore you don't need to do anything to make it unmuksa, to make it mukhan. Be'ima, but the mother bird, which flies around a lot, is therefore requires a designation, because you might have had in mind, by default it would be muktza, because the mother bird isn't so easy to get hold of. So by default one would assume that you're not going to use it on Yom Tov. If you want to make it mukhan, that you will use it on Yom Tov, you have to do a designation to say, I'm going to use it tomorrow.
I wonder if you do shiluch hakan, can that be counted as zimun? Because you made the mother bird fly. You made it move.
So no, but the child doesn't need zimun.
The abonim tikach loch is no problem.
The child doesn't need zimun. It's the mother. The mother's the one that needs zimun. If you chase the mother away,
you want to take the kids.
That's not zimun of the mother.
You're
menaneya. That's not. Well, you're not menaneya l'shem. I want to use it tomorrow. You're menaneya l'shem. Get lost.
You know what do you call the oisav is benoy l'sishchut? That today I'm going to eat the abonim tikach loch tomorrow.
Anyway, good question. But the Gemara asks a better question. Ima, you're talking about the mother bird, which is a big adult bird. Pizimun sagila, is it enough just to designate it? Say the Mayasabu, you're going to have to hunt it. If you see a big adult mature bird flying across the sky, you can't say, oh, I see that bird flying
that's
over there?
Tomorrow's lunch.
That's tomorrow's lunch. Mm-hmm. That's not good enough. You're going to have to hunt it. You can't say that makes it automatically prepare for tomorrow. Even if you did, you still can't say I was mezamined when it flew past me. You have to catch it first. They're both talking about a baby bird. It depends whether it's near. If it's near the city, that means that you were already. I've confused everybody again, because this is not talking about the bird. This is talking about the animal that spent the night in the paradise. Yeah? So it's a baby animal and an adult animal. Same idea, but it's animals, not birds. Yeah. So if your orchard is near the city, you had in mind yesterday that you're going to have lunch with that animal. If it's not near the city, then by default you didn't have it in mind, and therefore you need zimun. So the end of the story is that an animal that spent the night in the orchard. So according to the final answer, if it's near the city and it's a child animal which can't get very far, then you probably, by default, had in mind to have it tomorrow. You don't need to do anything special. Whereas if it's an adult, or if it's far away from the city, then by default, you didn't have it in mind for tomorrow. And therefore, if you do want to have it in mind, you'll have to do a hazmona to designate it beforehand that it's going to be used on Yontif. Okay. So we could then go back to Rav Chisda, which Rav Nachman said that Rav Chisda got himself caught out in a machlokes by extrapolating from Rav, we could say that Rav Chisda was talking about a child animal also, and then he would have no problem, and it was close to the city. Okay, that is that bit about the animals in the orchards. Next Mishnah.
Quite amazing how they can make sweeping statements and get away with it. And we have to sit here half an hour trying to understand what they said.
Who says they got away with it? Rav Chisda got hit over the head by Rav Nachman, and he got away with it.
He got a chelik. He told, what are you mixing in such a big bucket?
Yeah,
like
this? I got away with it.
We're talking about Makashara, aren't
we? That's it.
I'm an annoying.
Is a Naneo the opposite of a Makusha?
That's the whole
subject.
I don't think they got away with it so easily. They got pretty much grilled if they didn't know what they're talking about. Okay, says the Mishnah. Behema Masukenis, you have an animal which is in danger of dying, and you're scared that it's gonna die, and it's Yontif here it's late on Yontif. The animal's about to die. So you wanna shecht it before it has a chance to die. Because if you shecht it, then it's kosher. If it dies by itself, it's not kosher. So this says the Mishnah, Lo yishchait elim ken yesha huspayem lechem and a kezayis tzoli. So we're talking about late afternoon, so you don't need it for lunch. Yeah, so when is your ladder shecht? You're allowed to shecht things that are edible today, on Yontif. Yeah, so you have to shecht it early enough in the day that there's time to eat some.
First, yeah.
But in order to eat it, you got to roast it. So roasting, I think, is the quickest way of preparing it. It's quicker than... You don't need melicha, and you don't need cooking and boiling water, whatever. So the quickest way to get it, to be able to eat the piece of meat, is to chuck it on the barbie. Yep. So you have to be able to get to a point where you could chuck a kezayis on the barbie and be able to eat it when it's still day, and then you could say that I'm doing it the Tzorech Yontif, and therefore you'd be allowed to shecht it on Yontif. Rabbi Akiva Omer doesn't have to go on the barbie. Afilu kezayis chai, mi beis tvichasa. Even a raw piece of meat that came straight out of the, let's translate the house of butchery, but let's translate straight off the animal, yeah? Let's translate it like that. We'll see, there's a bit of discussion what that means, but for the moment, let's just say, even if you took it raw straight off the animal, then it's also, if there's enough time to eat it raw, that's also good. You don't need to have time to roast it, so that'll give you an extra couple of minutes, I guess. Roasting doesn't take very long, yeah? Give you an extra couple of minutes.
Well, 3 minutes on each side.
Yeah.
Depends what kind of meat you're using.
Shachta b'sada, if you shecht an animal out in the field, this isn't about the Mesukena, this is in general. If you shecht an animal on Yontif, lo yeviyena b'moitu v'muta, you can't bring it with sticks. So they used to carry, if you carried in a big behemoth, the carcass, so you had these poles, and the poles were called the moita and the moita, because there was a male and a female, and one got stuck into the other. So you cannot carry it in this manner on Yontif, because that looks too much like you're doing work, looks too much like a business, whatever. So therefore, you can't carry it in that manner. But you can carry it in from the field, limb by limb, because that looks more retail, like you're just
personal usage.
Yeah, personal use, and it looks more like you're having lunch than you're going to the market. Okay, Omer Rabbi Bar Abba. The Torah told us that when you put an oila, even though the oila is, the whole thing goes on a mizbeach, but the Torah said you skin it, and you cut it into pieces, and then you put it on the mizbeach. So you don't just chuck the whole thing on the mizbeach as soon as you shechted it. V'hu adin l'katzovim. Same thing applies to butchers. Yeah, that before you eat the meat, it has to be skinned and it has to be cut up into pieces. Is mikal nim the Torah derech eretz. So the Torah teaches you just derech eretz, just good manners. Shalo yechol adam baser kodem hefshem etuach. Don't eat the meat before the animal has been skinned and cut up. So the Gemara says, what are you talking about? My kumashman, what are you teaching us here, Rabbi Bar Abba? Ilem ulafuki mid Rav Huna, if you're coming to tell us that you disagree with Rav Huna. What did Rav Huna say? If you're talking about, so there's certain cases where you have a doubt whether something's kosher or not, so you'll go by the chazaka. So Rav Huna says, an animal that when it's alive, the chazaka is that it's also, because you can't eat it when it's alive. Yeah? So therefore, in order to get it out of the chazaka of being unkosher, you need to know for sure that it was shechted properly. Nishchita, if you have geshachten the meat, is then you assume the chazaka is that meat that's been shechted is kosher, Aymedes, it stands in that chazakah. Actually, yivada lechal manichafa. Yeah, it has a chazakah of kashrus, unless you have some knowledge to say that it's not kosher, that it became treif. Yeah, so that's where everyone is saying that that's the din of chazakah. Yeah, so therefore, what are you telling me? That he, when it was shechted, you assume it's kosher unless you know that it's treif. That means what happens if you didn't check it? Yeah. So you shechted it, and you didn't check the lungs and the evorium to see if there's any treifus in there. Just stam. So Rav Huna is saying, min hastam, it's kosher unless you have a reason to believe that it's not kosher. Yeah? And so the Gemara thought that Rami Bar Abba, when he says, don't eat it until you skin it and take it apart, why do you have to take it apart? To check for treifus. Yeah? So that he's saying that argues with Rav Huna. But we have a Mishnah that backs up Rav Huna, that you don't have to check it. But really, you don't need to check the animal. Once it's shechted, you assume it's kosher. This now in the Mishnah, Rabbi Akiva, Eimer, Afilu, Kazai, Schaibe, Beis, Tzvichasa. Rabbi Akiva said that when you shechted it on Yontif in the afternoon, as long as there's enough time to get a raw piece of meat straight off the animal as it's shechted, then that's good enough. You have to cut it up and the Hevshet, Tuach, and Bedika, Vachulu. My love, and doesn't it mean when Rabbi Akiva said that, be based tvichasa mamish? It means mamish, as soon as you shechted it, you can eat it. You don't have to do any bedikas. And for the Gemara, loinein, mimokim shetevachas achilasa. It doesn't mean the place where you shechted it, it means where the animal got its food from. The animal doesn't shecht literally, but the animal gets its food. As Rashi says, it refers to the b'nei meyeha, the stomach of the animal, because there the food is cut up and digested, so he calls it base tichasa. So Rav Akiva is telling you that you can eat the kishkis of the animal, can be eaten raw, and therefore even if you could eat a kazayis of the raw meat from the kishkis before nightfall, that will be sufficient to allow you to shecht it on Yontif. No, you don't have to check it. You just take it. Oh, no. He's saying, yeah. According to this answer, that would mean that you would check. That means you would check.
You have to have the biggest array and all of those things.
Yeah. No. Yeah. So the Havamina was that Rabbi Akiva is backing up Rav Huna to say they don't have to check it. So the Gemara said, no. What it means is you do have to check it. And therefore, so that's what Rami Bar Abba is telling you, that you have to check it before you eat it. Fred the Gemara Vatari Rav Chiya Mokat Vichasa Mamish. You could try to answer that, but Rav Chiya's Brisa says, not like that. Rav Chiya's Brisa says you can mamish get it straight off the Shechita line, and therefore you don't need to check it. So therefore, what's Rami Bar Abba telling us? Ella Rami Bar Abba, turn the page, Erech Arach Kamashman. It's not telling you a halacha, he's telling you Derech Eretz. What sort of derech eretz? Can it tell you? Then when you eat onions and garlic, you don't eat it from the top, but you delicately peel off the leaves and eat them. If you just took a big crunch out of the whole big thing, ravson, you are considered a glutton, which is one of the seven deadly sins. And a similar thing, a person shouldn't drink a whole cup in one gulp.
One skull.
Except on the Seder night. Except on the Seder night, because it's Derech Eretz, you drink it with one skull. But generally, you're not supposed to drink your cup in one gulp. Ve'im shasa harei ze gargur. And if you did, you're considered a... What's a drinker, glutton? A guzzler. Good one. Yeah. So it's Derech Eretz.
Does that mean he's a
guzzler? So he's just telling you manners. The manners are, don't be in such a rush to fress. Yeah, have a bit of patience. When you get it, you'll get it. It's for your mensch, that's all. Now we have a laboratory brice. Tada Rabbanan, Hashoysa Kosev Vasacha, someone who drinks his whole cup in one gulp, Hareza Gargron, he's a guzzler. Shnayim is Derech Eretz. If he drinks it in two gulps, that's the normal manner. Shloisha Megasi Ruach, if he drinks it so slowly, it takes him three gulps, then he's already being haughty. He's showing off that look how I'm so refined and whatever. So that's also not. So the Derech Eretz is to drink it in two gulps. V'yama Rabbi Bar Abba, Chatsuva Mekateya Ragleyan de Rishio. So there's a Chatsuva means you have grass which grows with the roots going straight down. Maybe it's bamboo or something. So in other words, they used it, Yeshua ben Nun, when he made the borders of Eretz Yisrael, He used this to delineate the borders of different people's property because it grows straight. It's a good thing to use for a border, and the roots don't go to each side. So we're only bringing this because Rami Baraba said it. Rami Baraba said that chops off the feet of the wicked. The wicked people who try to steal somebody's land and move the border, but these things that go straight, there's no way that you can cheat on it. And therefore, it sort of chops their feet off. It ruins their plans, is what he means to say. Netia mekatea raglei de katzvaya. So, the netia means with the din of orla. The Torah told you when you plant a tree, you're not supposed to eat the fruit for 3 years. That means have patience. So that is the thing which, I guess, it literally means it chops their legs off. It means it's the lesson to teach the butchers, don't be in such a rush to eat, because butchers like to grab a piece of meat and eat straight away. Don't be in a rush. The Torah told you, wait 3 years before you eat the fruit, to teach you, don't be in a rush to eat the meat, or the boil they need us, and when the woman's in need, don't be in a rush, wait till the 7 days are up before you get into that. But that's what he's saying. He's saying, but it teaches you patience. It teaches you patience. That's all. Turmusa. Turmusa is a kind of a bean. You tell me what it translates to.
Turnips.
And you have to cook it 7 times before it becomes tasty. The first 6 times it's bitter.
Rashi says it's lentils or beans.
Yeah. Is mekateya ragleyin de senayin shal Yisrael. So that chops off the legs. In other words, it makes it a punishment. He calls it senayin Yisrael, but it means the Yidden themselves. That they sin 7 times, as we've seen a second. Remember, the pasuk says, "Vayisifu b'nei Yisrael la'asara b'nei Hashem." That the Yidden continued. This is in Shoftim's pasuk. They did. They sinned to Hashem. Vayavdu esabaolim esavashtores. They worshipped the idols of Baal and Ashtores. Esalei Aram. Esalei Tzidon. Esalei Moav. Esalei b'nei Amon. Esalei Plishtim. 7 different avodah zaras. Vayazu. 7 different sins. Vayazu es Hashem, and they forsook Hashem. Lo yavdu, and they didn't serve Him. If they abandoned Hashem, don't I know that means they didn't serve Him? Why does the pasuk say they didn't serve Him? Even if you would take an example from this bean, that you have to broil it 7 times, but at least at the end when you boiled it 7 times, then you can have it for dessert. Finally, at the end, it gets the message and it tastes good. But my kids didn't do that. That means Bnei Yisrael. 7 times they did Avodah Zarah and they got punished and it still didn't help. They're not even as good as a bean. Tana Mishmedra Meir, Veneimani Netevel Yisrael. Why did they wish to give the Torah to the Yidden? Neshein Ozin, because they're very strong and tough and sort of arrogant. They needed to be softened a bit. Tana Verabi Shmuel, Miminoi Eishdos Lomai, from Hashem's right hand, we got the fiery religion. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ro'in Halolosh, Denos Lehem Dos Eish. These people are tough, therefore they need a fiery religion. Ika Di Amri, Doseyem Shal Elu Eish, that their religion is fire, the religion itself is fire, is what he means to say. Shal Mala Nitne Torah Li Yisrael, that if the Torah wouldn't have been given to the Yidden, and it wouldn't sort of soften us up, Ein Kol Umma V'Losh Nechayim Lam Lifnayim, then no other nation would be able to stand up before us. There are 3 things that are really tough. Yisrael, but almost the Yidden are the toughest of nations. Kelev, b'chayis, a dog is the toughest animal. And a tarnagel, b'ofis, a chicken is the toughest bird. V'yeshremim af eizah hemadaka, the goats are the toughest of the behemadakas. V'yeshremim af tzlaf b'ilonis, even tzlaf of, which one?
A caper's
bush in the trees. Rashi says, I don't know what's so strong about it. And Tosfos says that it's used in the Keteris, Shoyim by Zipur and Kadesh to Hey Azza to strengthen things. Shachta b'sarla yver b'moy. Shall I go on? If he shechted it in the field, then he can't bring it in with a stick. Tzadon Rabbanon, ena suma yetzu b'makli. A blind person is not allowed to go out with his stick on Yontif. Olei arei b'tarmiloy. And a shepherd with his hobo stick. Ve'en yetzim.
Huh?
And with his bag on the end of the hobo stick, yeah? You can't go out being carried on a chair. Whether you're the man or the woman, to be carried on a chair in one of those chair things that people carry on the shoulders. You can't do that on Yom Tov. We had an old guy in our neighborhood, and he went out with his gludki, which is this chair thing. If he needs to get from A to B, and the people need him, the community needs him to be at B, then you can carry him. And they relied also on the testimony of Achishakya, the Omar, Ana Fikti Rav Huna, Mehini Lashili, Mashili Hini. I carried Rav Huna from Hini to Shili and Shili to Hini. The Yomar of Nachum Yitzchak, also said, Ana Fikti Lamar Shmuel, Meshimsha Latula Mitula Shimsha. I carried Rav Shmuel from the sun to the shade, if he was too hot, and from the shade to the sun, if he's too cold. So what are you telling me? You can't carry a person on this chair, on the shoulders. We see all these examples that people did. So the Gemara says, no, Hasa Kedama Taima. Like you said, the reason is, Im Hayu Rabin Tzrichim Lo Yizmutar. If the people need him, then you can. But otherwise, you cannot. Amalev Nachman Lechama Bar Adash Shliach Tzion. You're the Aliyah Shliach, because you keep going in Aliyah all the time. So next time you go in Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael, Kisalak to Lahasa, when you get there, Aki Fazil Basulba to Tzur. Take a detour and climb up on the mountain of Tzur, on the ladder that goes up to the top of Mount Tzur. Vezila gab Rav Yaakov Bar Idi, and go and visit Rav Yaakov Bar Idi. Uboy menei, and ask him the following question. Kise ma'atumbo, what do you say about the din of carrying someone in a chair on Yom Tif? Ada azala hasam, by the time he climbed up the mountain to go and ask him, nach nafshi Rav Yaakov Bar Idi passed away, so he couldn't ask him. Is kisalik, so when he finally got to Yerushalayim, ashtichel razreka, he found razreka. Amalei kise ma'atumbo, what do you hold about the chair business? Is amalei hachyam Rav Ami. Levachle yakasi, if you can carry him on a chair, as long as you don't put him on your shoulders. Maya Vashley Kasif. What do you mean, as long as you don't put him on your shoulders? Amar Rav Yosef Rei Derava Ba'alunki. That means a shoulder ride, a direct shoulder ride on your arms. Yeah? So that looks like that's the normal weekday way of carrying somebody, but if you put him in the fancy chair, not on your shoulders, then it's okay. Huh?
On a glutki.
Freda Gabara Aini, Rav Nachman Shaul Eliyalta Lamefika Alunki. Rav Nachman let his wife Yalta go out even on a lunki, so that's for sure not good. So that's also the derech choil, the shoulder ride. So he says Shani Yalta de Beisa. It's different with her because she was scared and therefore she wanted to be held on properly. Amemar and Marzutra Makasfilu Bishafted Ragla. They carried them on their shoulders on the Shabbos of Yom Tov when they had to go and make the speech. Mishu Biasusa. They were also scared of falling off, so they were able to be carried properly. And some say because it was so crowded, if it didn't carry them properly, then they probably would have gone flying, and therefore they put them quickly in their place by carrying them normally. All right, we'll leave it over here.
Thank you.